Welcome back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and our guest today is Holland Vanden Nieuwenhoff. His website is A Noble Lie. He is the writer, producer. He is associated with Free Mind Films, and he produced the newly released film, A Noble Lie, Oklahoma City, 1995. And this was directed by James Lane, and they reevaluated the circumstances surrounding the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. All righty, let's, and we will take calls after the next break at 800-313-9443. So, in regard to this infiltration that, so many people were doing, and we talked about Elohim City and some of the individuals that were associated with this. And I understand that Robert Millar is the fellow that actually founded this community in 1973?
Yes. I'm not sure the exact year of that, but that sounds about right, yes.
And then there were a lot of people who attempted to infiltrate not just Elohim City, but several other groups. What other groups do you think that they were looking at or targeting?
Well, Tim McVeigh himself was approaching people before the bombing, and he and his confederates, who were actually government informants by their own admission, trying to get people involved in the neo-Nazi radical right and the militia movement involved in bombing a federal building with ANFO, which is the exact same script that played out on April 19th, 1995. No legitimate dissenter, whether we agree with his beliefs or not, was willing to go forward with this plan. And the only other person who was prosecuted in involvement with the bombing was Terry Nichols, an old army buddy of McVeigh. And we know for a fact that there were other people involved with the bombing, but it appears that all of them were government informants, and the only other people who were prosecuted were the only ones involved with McVeigh who were not informants, because no one was really wanting to bomb a federal building full of innocent people. No one saw the utility in that or the propaganda value at all. It is detrimental to everything they were trying to do. So we have proven, I mean, I have interviewed people, hunted them down in the deserts of Arizona and Utah, who were being approached by McVeigh and his informant buddies, and they said, no, we're not going to do this.
Interesting. Now, some of the paid people were like Gary Hunt and Peter Langan?
Yes. Well, I mean, Gary Hunt is... his role is problematic. I'm not quite sure what to make of it. We did not include in the movie because the evidence is problematic. What we included in A Noble Lie was only that evidence that could be proven to the nth degree, the 110%. The movie already is 2 hours long, and to go into too much speculation or any speculation would have extended the movie beyond a reasonable viewing time and would not have served the purpose, because the demonstrable and provable evidence is so large and overwhelming that there's no need to go into anything that is only 90 or 85% provable. We can destroy the official story with what is known to be true and proven beyond any kind of reasonable doubt. Now, Gary Hunt, as far as I know, is involved in the far right, I guess you could call it. He was involved with Waco to some extent. And one of our witnesses placed Gary Hunt inside the Murrah building the morning of the bombing, dressed in GSA uniform, Government Service Administration uniform. But Gary Hunt also has a provable alibi that morning. He was in federal court. But Gary Hunt himself admitted that the picture that he was shown of him at the Murrah building, his own mother would have mistaken him. So it's, like I said, it's problematic.
All righty. We do have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in seven different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Take your calls at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Holland Vanden Nieuwenhof. His website is anoblelie.com. Now, weren't they also, not only did they want to demonize patriots, but didn't they also attempt to make this a Muslim thing? Didn't they try to say that there were Muslims involved in this operation?
Yes, and not without reason. The first actually be on the lookout alerts were based on eyewitness accounts that witnesses had seen two Middle Eastern men in blue jogging suits running from the Murrah building and jumping into a brown pickup truck, which sped away just minutes before the building blew up, and based upon other eyewitness accounts. And that's one thing we did not explore at length in A Noble Lie, is the Middle Eastern connection. There were a couple of reasons for that. One is the evidence is not as provable as the evidence that ties Andy Strassmeyer and the infiltrated neo-Nazi right into the bombing. And I have no doubt, that, well, I suspect at least, that it is true that there was some Middle Eastern involvement in perimeter security and in the use of decoy Ryder trucks around the bombing. And that has led to speculation that perhaps there were two scripts in play, that one script was to blame it on the Middle Easterners to justify perhaps a war overseas, or to blame it on dissent in the United States to justify war against the American people, and they decided to go with one script versus the other. I don't know. But we do know that there was at least some Middle Eastern involvement, and that is not problematic at all. There was a lot proven history of cooperation between neo-Nazi movements and radical Islam. That goes back decades, and they have a lot in common: hatred of the U.S. government, hatred of so-called Zionism, and so forth.
Given the time period that we were involved, or that the U.S. government was involved in sanctioning Iraq at that time, then by bringing in the Middle East, by bringing in Muslims, wouldn't that just kind of make the American people not oppose what the U.S. government was doing in the Middle East? And isn't that another way of demonizing the Muslims?
Yes.
I mean, it
yes.
could have been CIA agents dressed up like Muslims.
Or it could have been, rural Arabs who had no idea who they were working for. Most of these deep state false flag operations are carried out by people who have no idea who the true sponsors are. And the former CIA director, James Woolsey, he has stated time and time again that there was indeed a Middle Eastern connection. He was former director of the CIA. He's not going to say that lightly, or unless there's an agenda involved. If he's going to go against the official story as director of the CIA, there must be a very good reason for that. And I think that there was more utility at the time in blaming it on a dissent within this country rather than pursuing an overt foreign influence in this bombing.
Right. Now, didn't McVeigh have some sort of an association with the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center?
Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center was indeed involved with aspects of this bombing. Documents uncovered by Jesse Trentadue, whom I mentioned previously, whose brother was murdered in federal custody, prove, and these are actually teletypes from FBI Director Louis Free to agents in the field, that the SPLC had informants at Elohim City. In fact, the spokesman for the SPLC has admitted on at least one occasion, then later denied it, that they had people at Elohim City who reported on McVeigh, and that there was prior knowledge at the hands of some members of the Southern Poverty Law Center involved in intelligence cooperation of the bombing, what was going to happen. The SPLC is often used as an intelligence gathering operation by the FBI and now Homeland Security because they do not have to get warrants. They do not have to get wiretap applications. They can get information and then just provide it to the government, and the government can, well, we'll just accept the information no matter what its source or its legality.
And you could say the same thing about the ADL.
Yes, of course, of course.
Now, I understand that they have secret files on over 10,000 American citizens and other, like, 600 different organizations. Why would they be?
They are intelligence gathering organizations. The ADL has been caught more than once holding files on American citizens, and it strictly is not illegal for a private entity to have a file on someone, which is why they are tasked by now Homeland Security. SPLC actually has a seat on a board at the Homeland Security, and that is why they are tasked by the federal government to collect information, because it is not strictly illegal for private entities to collect whatever information they want.
On April 21st, 1995, 2 days after the Oklahoma City bombing, the Washington Post ran a story about McVeigh in which they claimed that he had placed a series of ads in the Spotlight, which was a newspaper that is no longer extant right now, but that Michael Collins Piper wrote for. And this tip to the newspaper, the Washington Post, came from the ADL. So, supposedly, the article that was placed by McVeigh, he used the alias T. Tuttle. Now, how would the ADL know about that?
Yes, and one thing about Tim McVeigh is that the federal government claims that they had no idea who he was before the bombing. He was not on the radar, he was not being investigated, but we know this not to be true, and partly because of those ads. Tim McVeigh, supposedly under the alias Tim Tuttle, which is an alias he used often, and he had an ID in that name, someone named Tim Tuttle placed an ad in the Spotlight advertising the sale of rocket launchers. And we have documentation that this ad was perused by federal law enforcement and was passed on to federal law enforcement by the Arizona Department of Public Safety. And the funny thing is about this this memo is that the Arizona Department of Public Safety says that they checked out Mr. T. Tuttle at an Arizona gun show and verified that they weren't grenade launchers. He was selling those flare launchers, but they said in their memo that T. Tuttle at the gun show, or the person at the gun show selling these flare launchers, was not Tim McVeigh. This is before the bombing. So they were investigating Tim McVeigh because they were talking about him before the bombing. So that tells you that there's a body of records on Tim McVeigh, an investigatory body of records on Tim McVeigh by various agencies that has been erased from the official record.
Right, and this ad, or this notice in the Washington Post, was only 2 days after the fact.
Yes.
And how would the ADL know all about this and have this information? Did they have foreknowledge? Well, obviously
the ADL monitored all of the Spotlight's activities and their classified ads and provided that information to law enforcement, which is probably why the Arizona Department of Public Safety was telling the FBI that the person at the gun show was not Tim McVeigh. That was probably launched on the initiation of the information provided by the ADL.
Well, I don't know. I mean, how could they know this just 2 days after? It appears that the ADL...
Well, they knew beforehand, yes.
Yes. And the U.S. government knew beforehand.
Oh, yes, they did. They did. The ADL did know who Tim McVeigh was. They did know what this was, and they were informing certain agencies in the government about Tim McVeigh's activities, yes.
Okay. And, yes, this is just very interesting. All of these, layers of the onion, as you peel them back, it's quite incredible. Why don't we take a call? Let's take Richard in Washington.
Yeah, great show as always, Deanna. But I have a question, and it stems from yesterday's program, where it was indicated that a tribe erroneously called Jews, more accurately called Zionists, were using deception to keep us in subjection.
Richard, keep it relevant to today's program.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
So, as I pointed out, the strength of this people called the Jews, and another caller pointed out, and she stated that was Americans used to be the same way. So I have two questions. Are all the people involved in this and other false flag operations Zionists or quote-unquote Jews, or as I believe Pogo was accurate, and we have met the enemy and he is us because it's our parents, our children, our friends, our neighbors, and other people that are involved in these self-destructive activities? It seems like we are the ones doing it. These are people like Timothy McVeigh. He was the son of someone. He was in the army, as in everybody in the military is the son of someone. So is it fellow Americans that are turning the tables on ourselves and bringing this whole destruction down on our own system?
Is that question directed to me?
Yes.
Just an open-ended question, but yes,
okay.
Definitely.
Yes. Well, I can tell you for one that I do not myself engage in collectivist blaming for anything. I believe in individual responsibility and blame and credit. And it appears that the intelligence agencies of the United States were involved in this operation. If you're asking me, you're trying to ask me if Mossad or the Jews did the bombing, and I would say no, that the entity that benefited most directly was the federal government. And as far as we can tell, that there was involvement of the SPLC and ADL in prior knowledge, that they were informing on some of these principles, and they probably knew what was going to happen and fully cooperated because, or did not blow the whistle because whatever the federal government was doing was beneficial towards their ends also. But as far as I can tell, it was white Protestant Anglo-Saxon people involved in this cover-up in the execution of the bombing, and not the Jews.
All righty, we do have a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Holland Vanden Nieuwenhuis, and the website is anoblelie.com. Now, the thing about the Washington Post, and if McVeigh wasn't using his real name, how could the ADL possibly figure out that it was McVeigh who had been placing these ads, apparently since 1993, how did they figure that it was McVeigh and report to the Washington Post 2 days after the event that it was McVeigh when he used an alias, T. Tuttle, and unless the ADL had someone, an agent, close to McVeigh to begin with?
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, they had a file on Tim McVeigh before the bombing that listed his alias as Tim Tuttle, which means they had performed an investigation upon him. That is, at the very least, is demonstrated by the fact that they reported to the or tipped off the Washington Post that Tim McVeigh had been using the T Tuttle alias to place ads in the spotlight. So at the very
but
least,
how would they know that unless they had somebody close to him?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they did. The neo-Nazi movement is thoroughly infiltrated by federal agents, by agents of the SPLC and ADL. It's thoroughly infiltrated.
Hmm. All right, let's take another caller. Let's take Bill in Idaho. Bill, welcome to the program.
Bless you, and thanks so very much for everything you do each and every day for the Republic.
You're welcome.
The educational events that occur on Republic Broadcasting are unmatched even by Austin Pisicus. Tyrannosaurus ostentificus and his presumed assumptive reign. I just wanted to ask your guest how or why he would come to that conclusion, considering his last statement. The exact quote biblically is, "Beware of those that would say they were Jews, but were not." As a most recent now, we'll
listen, listen, to, listen. I do not get involved in racial politics.
Could I
if you're asking me to demonize a race, you're barking at the wrong tree, my friend.
Thank you.
And that's my answer.
The biblical quote is...
Well, you know, that's, at the very least, biblical quotes are very open.
And
to
your answer would be disingenuous by virtue of that. I would only point out, Miss Deanna, by your other guests that you've had, I would be able to redocument, of course, the swarming of those little agents, Nazi provocateurs, by virtue that all my documentation, research, and even court records out of Coeur d'Alene, stolen out of the library, as well as research in regard to this very issue. I would ask your guest, considering his pointed views, and considering his vast research, the history of that research, considering Elohim...
Well, I'll just get to your question, Bill.
You ever talk to Danny Casolaro, Pyramid of Shame?
Danny Casolaro's dead.
Yeah. Did you ever talk to him? That's the question.
How is that relevant?
What is the point of that, my friend?
Yeah, that's not relevant, Bill. Let's try to stay relevant.
Why don't you let me ask the question before you decide what is relevant, since you're the authority?
Ask it, Bill.
When I talked to him, he was trying to tell me what was coming in Elohim. That is Pyramid of Shame out of Kansas City, right? Since you know everything.
Well, now, wait. I think that we just need to stay relevant to the topic that we're discussing.
1992 Franklin cover-up, as well as the discussion of what was occurring and getting ready to occur for Oklahoma City, was also well discussed in other circles. Apparently not in your research circles.
Well, actually, I've been on the ground too, and I know, and like I've said before, and like I said in this interview, that the groundwork was being laid in the early 90s. I talked to people who were being approached by McVeigh's cohorts trying to get people involved in this plot. I know I have talked to these people.
Well, it's so good that you've researched it that far. Thus, when asked in regard to who's who in the zoo, I was wondering if you ever got a chance to review any of the Emory files, any of the archives.
Emory files, I'm unfamiliar.
Dave Emory, just hit in.
Oh, E-M-O-R-Y? No, I haven't.
Huh.
Miss Deanna, if you would, I'll leave some data for him, and maybe we can have a more commodious conversation at a later date.
All righty, well,
your efforts. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bill. All right, we are going to break momentarily. I do not endorse Dave Emery's stuff at all. Okay, we don't have time to take another caller, but it is very interesting that the ADL seems to have such information and that they work so closely with the government. That bothers me. All righty, we do have a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks. Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A one-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
You know, babe, I've got to say, there's a whole passel of reasons I'm happy we bought our seed bank from Texas Ready.
Really?
Yeah, the one that makes me happiest is our salsa garden. Onions, jalapenos, fantastic tomatoes, cilantro.
I know, dear. You couldn't survive without your salsa.
Folks, Texas Ready helps you to thrive, not merely survive. Multiple kinds of heirloom tomatoes, onions, and peppers. Plus non-GMO corn, beans, peas, and vegetable varieties out the wazoo. With over 75 varieties, each Liberty Seed Bank has enough fruit, herbs, and vegetables to enable you to grow well over 2,000 pounds of food in your subdivision backyard each year. Order your bank today at TexasReady.net or come visit us at Glenn Beck's Restoring Love Conference July 26th and 27th. We'll be set up near the registration tables at the Arlington Sheraton. Go to TexasReady.net for more information. See you there.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Our guest today is Holland Vanden Nieuwenhof, and his website is anoblelie.com. And apparently I cut Richard from Washington off as he had another question. So, Richard, real quick, ask your other question or comment.
Yeah, I listened to your show, Deanna, because you're a national treasure. Any informed, independent, natural man should seek out the information that you provide because it's always so condensed and most important information. And the noble lie is a must-see thing. I think everyone should view this documentary because it's so significant in actual factual history. My question is the money or the funds that are brought from this documentary, as well as other documentaries on what's happening in our country, being used to prosecute the people that are engaged in this, or how can we deal with this situation? Is Thomas Jefferson right? The only way to handle this is vigilante revolution, or do you have some other ideas?
We're not so naive as to think that we will ever see the heads of the FBI, CIA, et al. In a criminal docket answering questions about what they had done. But we wanted to at least reclaim history for the victims, survivors, and victims' family members who lost their loved ones in the bombing, because Oklahoma City bombing is remembered as, in the official histories, they're commemorating a lie. That's not actually what happened. It didn't happen in reality. That's not what occurred on the ground. So we wanted to reclaim history for those who were affected by it and those who want to learn from history, at the very least. And as for the funds developed from the sale of the Noble Eye, that is being those are being applied towards our next couple of projects, one dealing with the bombing also, actually the murder of police officer Terrence Yakey. And we're also working on another project right now called State of Mind, the Psychology of Control, which is a treatment of mind control. And so I hope that answers your question. I mean, we're not, you know, we have tried the official routes, the grand jury system, the independent investigations, and they have achieved what they have, but they were not allowed to achieve everything they could because of lack of mainstream attention or deliberate ignoring of the story. But at the very least, we hope to reclaim history.
Well, see, that's my question. What you're doing is you're using a noble eye to achieve a noble purpose. But at what point do we then take action on this education? I mean, you know, I was raised in the educational system, which I really called a dumbed-down system. But at some point, you have to either prosecute these people and or take action so that you can achieve the justice for the people that have been lied to.
Well, taking action is a very open-ended proposition. And like I said, we cannot expect this government to prosecute its own for the crimes that its members have committed for a higher agenda. That's just not going to happen. We're not that naive anymore. But taking action, forms of physical action, also provides no value. Resorting to violence, it gives the government the excuse it needs. They would love it because the government knows how to deal with violence. They know how to deal with that. They have a monopoly on violence, and they know exactly how to deal with violence.
Now, but what you're saying is we've been taken over by a government that does not represent us, and that there's no solution to this situation, that we just have to go along with the flow.
Well, I don't think there is no solution. I think direct action in the form of violence is the exactly wrong solution because it gives the government carte blanche to resort to its true function, which is suppression of dissent and the people.
Now, so the only other approach would be a Gandhian approach, where passive resistance, where everyone totally stop participating, which is my suggestion. But how are you going to get all the people to engage in this Gandhian perspective?
Well, I think that I do know that one of the purposes we had in the Noble Eye was just not to wake up people to the Oklahoma City bombing, but to wake up people to what this government is capable of and what they have done in the past conclusively. And when it happens again, which it will, because it's a successful formula for them, then they will resort to it again, especially when they become desperate and they need a validation for a radical agenda. When it happens again, that people who have seen this movie and other works in this genre who know what this government is capable of will not cooperate with whatever horrific agenda is on the horizon. Now, if that takes mass civil disobedience, yes. If that takes withdrawing from paying into the system, yes. And I'm not a pacifist. I firmly believe in self-defense. But frankly, and one could argue, okay, well, that means we need to attack them now, whatever. Well, that's not going to work. And it wouldn't provide no moral value to anything we're trying to accomplish. We must do whatever we can short of that.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much. Let's take Patrick in North Carolina. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Deanna. It's a very interesting show. And two questions, basically. The first one is, when I hear the term Middle Eastern involvement, through my research of over 10 years, I've come to learn that it's just like a code word for the Israelis, because when they announced years ago in a documentary that the King David Hotel was blown up by Middle Easterners, I really didn't understand until I did further research that it was actually Jews dressed up like Middle East, like Arabs. And if you're looking at Jews from the Middle East and Arabs side by side, it's very hard, almost impossible for someone like myself to tell the difference. So that's the first thing. Just bring up that point that the King David bombing was conducted by Jews dressed like Arabs. And my first question is, was your guest aware of that? And what are his thoughts on it? But my second question is, if McVeigh was handled by some government agency or a controller, who was his controller, and what did he have to benefit by this? How did this carrying out this bombing help McVeigh? Was he in some sort of a trap where if he did not conduct the bombing, they were going to kill his family? I mean, why did he participate in this? And I'll listen to your comments.
Okay. Well, the answer to your first question is that we actually know some of the Arab suspects involved, and they were Arab. Hussein al-Husseini, Samir Khalil, these were Arab people. They weren't Jews dressed up as Arab people. They were actually Arab people. And we know who they are. Some of them are still active. Some of them later played a role in 9/11. But for your second question, why McVeigh cooperated? Well, that's who knows. None of us possess, on the outside of this equation, possess the ultimate repository. You know everything about the bombing. We know what is true and what is not true, and we can state that either or. Why McVeigh participated? There could have been any number of level of coercion involved, including psychological conditioning, and there's evidence of that. As for his handler, well, McVeigh named his handler to Terry Nichols, the only convicted accomplice. Tim McVeigh named his direct handler as Larry Potts, assistant director of the FBI, who was actually the lead agent in charge of Ruby Ridge and who later played a role in Waco. And Larry Potts also played a role in Operation PatCon, which is what we believe the Oklahoma City bombing was spawned out of. So that I can answer that question. I hope that does answer all your questions.
Well, sure. I was just thinking that if McVeigh was told to perpetrate this operation and he knew that these people were going to die, he was going to commit this mass murder, he had to have some sort of pressure applied on him to do this. Nobody just wakes up and says, I'm going to commit murder because these people over here are telling me to do it.
He has to have
something to force him into this situation where if he doesn't do it, then the results are going to be even more terrible to him personally, such as, I'm going to kill your wife, I'm going to kill your family, I'm going to kill everybody you know. And I'm just asking for your to speculate on that. Do you not think that that sort of pressure would have been applied to him?
I have no doubt some type of pressure, not ruling out threatening his family, was applied to McVeigh. But we also know that McVeigh was subjected to psychological conditioning. The military has never released any of the psychological records. He's being treated in prison by a known mind control expert named Dr. Jolly West and then another one named Dr. John Smith, who was later the chief psychiatrist at Guantanamo Bay. So we know that McVeigh was subjected to extraordinary pressures. But in no way do I want to imply that McVeigh was innocent or a victim in this. McVeigh could have walked away no matter the consequences at any time. There was pressure, I'm sure, involved in getting him to go along with this. But we also know that McVeigh was a total player. I have interviewed the man who lived with McVeigh for 3 years in the Army, his roommate, and who was in the tank with him in the Gulf War. And he said McVeigh was a total tool. He would follow any order you gave him, but he was incapable of independent action. In fact, the quote was that you could tell McVeigh to spit shine a cinder block, and he would do it without question. He was the perfect soldier. He would do whatever he was told.
So he just basically gave up his life on the orders of Larry Potts.
Well, I'm not sure if that's exactly how it went down, but I do know that McVeigh named his handler as Larry Potts. And as for the ultimate fate of McVeigh, we've discussed that it has not been conclusively proven that McVeigh was killed in that execution. I don't know if he was or not. All I can say is that there is no proof that he was executed. There was no autopsy. There was no eyewitness account that shows him dying. There are a lot of unknowns in this.
I was unaware of that assumption. I just assumed that his body had been definitely confirmed dead by a full panel?
No, not at all.
No question that he was in the ground.
But yeah, no, there's no proof at all that he was killed. I'm not saying that he wasn't. I could go either way on it. I don't have a dog in the hunt on that. But I can say there is no proof that he was executed. There was no autopsy performed, which is contrary to all official procedure for executed federal prisoners. And there is no proof or any kind of evidence as to what happened to his remains. So we don't know. We don't know. Well, we can suspect that he was subjected to extraordinary pressures to get involved in this plot, and we don't know.
Well, thank you for taking my call and my questions.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, Patrick. McVeigh ask for his execution to be moved forward?
Yes, he waived all appeals after his guilty verdict in the federal trial in Denver. He waived all of his appeals, which could have extended his life by a decade or more, or a couple of decades if you really have a good lawyer and play your cards right. He waived all of those appeals and basically fast-tracked himself to be executed.
Interesting. Now, didn't Dr. West also pay a visit to Sirhan Sirhan?
Yes, Dr. Jolly West is the go-to guy for any kind of, mass murderer, serial killer with weird government connections. He treated Sirhan Sirhan, Jack Ruby, Patty Hearst. He consulted with the FBI about Waco and then, of course, was on the scene after the Waco fire to tell the media about what kind of wackos the people in Waco were. Jolly West was also one of the largest beneficiaries of MKUltra funding throughout the latter half of the 20th century, directly involved in mind control experiments and implementation. And Dr. Jolly West was immediately consulted by the defense to McVeigh. He immediately came to Oklahoma City after the bombing, ostensibly to treat the victims of the bombing for their trauma, but he may have been involved in fixing the memories of the victims and first responders about some of the things they had seen. And he directly consulted the defense of McVeigh and appointed Dr. Jolly West appointed his protege, Dr. John Smith, to be McVeigh's personal psychiatrist in prison. And Dr. John Smith later was chief of psychiatry at Guantanamo Bay, a known mind control lab.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. All righty, let's take Chris in Las Vegas. Chris, welcome to the program.
All right, good morning, Deanna and Mr. Holland. I'd like to apologize for some casting aspersions on your character and offer that shining the sterilizing light of truth on lies is likely a form of action that one is actively involved in.
Well, thank you for that. Obviously, I mean, I don't want to cast aspersions on anyone involved in the truth-seeking efforts, but a lot of times people try to draw me into racial politics when it comes into the Oklahoma City bombing, and I do not engage in that at all. I'm not saying that the intelligence agencies of the state of Israel or the state of the United States are not involved in, of course they're involved in false flag attacks and they're involved in subterfuge and covert operations that kill innocent people. But I just shy away personally and professionally and my own personal beliefs from demonizing anyone because of their race. I believe in personal responsibility and that when people engage in this, it tends to be a collectivist damning of an entire race that seems to fall short of the actual truth in these matters. There's no doubt that these agencies that represent these governments and these peoples are involved in these events. But I myself do not get involved in the racial aspect of it.
Being an Oklahoma Cityan myself, as you, I believe, have observed some pretty hard to avoid similarities in the personas of various actors that you've suggested, such as Oswald, McVeigh, Sirhan Sirhan, perhaps Gerald Loeffner, and a few others of notoriety of late. And I believe that there may likely be a special ops COINTEL mind control programming or Manchurian candidate posed agents provocateur or false flag operatives who are decidedly involved in these actions, or at least elements of these actions, perhaps merely to defer attention to the true perverts or prevaricators of the actions, and wonder if you don't see a same similarity of personas of like mindsets that make them particularly susceptible to perhaps being programmed mind control operatives.
Well, I've studied just not the Oklahoma City bombing, but many deep state events over the past two decades, and I see the similarities and the method modus operandi that was in place in Oklahoma City and other operations, and they are not separated. These are all linked together by the same operators, the same methodologies, the same and especially the same methods of cover-up. And I have no doubt that these methods have become refined and applied to other deep state events since then, including 9/11 and probably the Jared Lee Loeffner case. I'm actually doing a little work on that with some researchers, and we're finding some very spooky things about that event and the probable role of mind control programming in that event, and definitely deep state interference. I guess I'm trying to answer your question. Does that help out?
Well, absolutely, and I certainly applaud your efforts, and you've certainly worked hard in this, and you've brought many things to light that would have otherwise gone unnoticed by the public who's kept
okay,
in the dark.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm sorry. We're cutting into the break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Thanks, Chris, for your call.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Our guest today is Holland Vanden Nieuwenhof. His website is anoblelie.com. And Candy sent me an email, and she wants to know, could you ask your guest if there is a general sense in the population of Oklahoma City that the government is covering up the real story of the bombing?
Very good question. And yes, at the very least, Oklahoma City is just shy of a million people. So it's frankly, it's still kind of a small town. And when 168 people are killed and over 800 wounded and hundreds of first responders perhaps thousands of people are involved in this. Almost everyone in Oklahoma City has at least a first or second degree connection to the bombing. And most people have heard either first or second hand facts and anecdotes that are contrary to the official story. And they know, at least to some extent, that they are being lied to. But most do not know the full extent or have seen the big picture. And that's what we try to accomplish with A Noble Lie, not just for the people of Oklahoma City, but for the people across the world to see the totality of the falsity of the official story and where the implications and evidence leads the true hands of the guilt are, lay with, not just with Tim McVeigh, but others involved, some who worked for this government. And so there is a sense in Oklahoma City that the official story is false, and which is one reason why I believe the federal trials for both McVeigh and Terry Nichols were moved out of Oklahoma City and moved to Denver, out of the federal district in which the crimes occurred, which is contrary to the Constitution, that federal crimes must be tried in the district in which they occur. They were moved out of this federal district into Colorado because I believe, and as have been told to me, most people in Oklahoma City do have questions about the bombing.
Well, I hope that this movie answers those questions and gives them some sort of a, you know, so they can draw some conclusions. So I hope that that happens. All righty, we are quickly running out of time. Let's take Dan in Texas. Dan, welcome to the program. Dan? Oh, okay. How about John in Michigan? Okay, so, all righty, we don't have any. Now, you mentioned the Arabs who were involved in Oklahoma City bombing were also involved in 9/11. Now, didn't anybody question them at the time of Oklahoma City? And if they were, in fact, involved, what happened to them and why weren't they prosecuted or why haven't we heard about it?
Well, one in particular, Hussein al-Husseini, who was here in Oklahoma City, he was an Iraqi. Supposedly, he served in the Iraqi Republican Guard during the first Gulf War and then was brought to this country along with thousands of other Iraqi Army veterans, which was a bit unusual. There's some kind of Iraqi paperclip that went on after the first Gulf War where thousands were imported into this country for some reason. And it appears Hussein al-Husseini was one of these men. He was named as John Doe number two, involved in parking the Ryder truck outside the bombing by over a dozen witnesses, eyewitness lineups. They named him as the person they saw. This connection was not investigated fully by the federal government, but it was investigated by a local TV station, KFOR, and he sued them for defamation and lost the lawsuit because the alibi was proven a lie, and he was working at Boston's Logan Airport at 9/11. So there is a connection.
Interesting.
There.
All righty. We have run out of time. Thank you so much, Holland, for being on the program today.
Well, thank you, Deanna. It's been very interesting.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow.